time to talk Red Sox. To do that, we turn to Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Hello there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Ready to put my Red Sox cap to the side and cheer for Aaron Judge to make a little history, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating next 4 days. You would expect at the rate he's going, he would get at least one, if not the American League record breaker in these next four games. You never know. Even the hottest hitters and most productive power hitters sometimes go into a bit of a funk. There's certainly a lot of attention on these games. He's at home. I'm sure not only does he want to break the record, but he would prefer to do it in front of the home crowd in the Bronx. But we'll see what happens. These things sometimes take some surprising turns, but it certainly has added a little juice here to the to a series that obviously means very little, if next to nothing, for the Red Sox and, frankly, to the Yankees. You know, they're in position now where they're in a pretty good spot in terms of wrapping up the division. So not a lot else on the line except for, does Judge break the record in the next few days? Does he take over the American League batting title from Xander Bogaerts and Luis Arraez? And thus, does he also, to cap what's been an otherwise remarkable year, capture the Triple Crown in addition to setting the record for the most home runs?
Well, as the Red Sox limp to the finish line, more injuries. Garrett Whitlock shut down for the season. And you've got a really terrific piece at Boston Sports Journal that looks at some of these injuries this year. And first of all, the way the Red Sox have handled them publicly, but then certainly some questions about the way they handled physically two of their best young pitching talents in Whitlock and Tanner Houck.
Yeah, you've got two guys, Rich, who have been shut down in the month of September, not long after the Red Sox assured everyone publicly that they were working their way back into, you know, regular work routines and were going to be okay. With Houck, there had been a shutdown with his back, but then they started ramping him back up and said he was going to be back soon. And then one day they announced that he was being shut down for good and would have surgery. It's somewhat similar with Whitlock, although instead of a back, it's a hip that has certainly been bothering him for a couple of months. And if you just watch Garrett Whitlock walk around, whether it's walking to or off the mound or just in the clubhouse, you could tell that there was something bothering him. As recently as a couple of weeks ago, when asked if surgery could be an option for him in the offseason, Whitlock said that's the first he had heard of that, but that had not even been brought up. He pitches a few days ago, and then kind of out of the blue, the Red Sox say, oh yeah, he won't pitch again, and he's having surgery next week. So it certainly leaves their pitching staff with a bit of a cloud over it going into the offseason. You know, not long ago, if you were a Red Sox fan, you would look and say, well, at least they've got two young pitchers under control for a number of years in Houck and Whitlock. And, you know, they're versatile. They can do a number of different things. We'll see how they fit in, whether it's rotation or bullpen. But those are two guys you can count on. And now all of a sudden, one has had back surgery and the other's going to have hip surgery. And as I wrote, Rich, you know, they can say that they're going to be fine for spring training. But to me, that's about as dependable as saying that the surgeries were successful. The next surgery that is not successful in professional athletics will be the first, or at least the first that a team cops to. And so, you know, the expectation is they'll be ready, but there's no guarantee. So you've got a lot of uncertainty attached to two very important arms going into next February.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. So what does that rotation even look like from this vantage point for next year?
Well, I would say that, you know, the only, I'll use the phrase sure things advisedly, because that list includes Chris Sale, and we know how that's gone the last 3 years and the number of innings he's been able to contribute. But in theory, Sale would have rebounded from not only the broken pinky he suffered toward the end of the first half in New York, but the broken wrist that he had in the bike accident a few weeks after that. So the expectation is that he'll be healthy and available and be part of your rotation. There's also the thinking that Nick Pivetta will be in that rotation at some point. You would think, depending on what the Red Sox do, that that will be kind of more a back-end option, maybe a number four spot for Pivetta. And I would say that you have, Bayo is one of your starters penciled in, even though he's only made 10 major league starts. You can see the quality of the stuff and the potential there. So that's a guy that is going to be counted on very heavily. And then the rest is frankly up in the air. Do they use Whitlock as a rotation option? Alex Cora said one of the reasons that they're having the surgery now and that they want to get that all straightened out is that they want that option to remain open for them to have him back in the rotation. So maybe that's a hint at which way they're looking at. And then you've got all the potential free agents, Rich Hill, Michael Wacha, and Nathan Eovaldi. I don't think Rich Hill will be back, at least to start the year. He has talked publicly about maybe taking some time off at the beginning of the year and joining a team mid-season to reduce the workload on his body. I could see the Red Sox having some interest in bringing him in that capacity, but not for a full season. Wacha, I think they should give a qualifying offer to. Is it a bit of an overpay to pay him almost $19 million? Yeah, probably, but not by a great distance. And he's proven that, he's unquestionably been their best starter. He goes tonight in the first game of the series in the Bronx, and I think a qualifying offer would be a smart thing for the Red Sox to bring back a guy they know can pitch here and succeed here. And then you still have the question of Nate Eovaldi. I would not give him the qualifying offer. I think he's too big of a risk at this point, but they may do that to get some veteran certainty as part of that rotation. But either way, in my mind, they've got to, in addition to the Sale, Bayo, Pivetta, and let's call it for now Whitlock, that you have penciled in, I think they have to have at least two experienced starters added to that mix. I think Wacha should be one of them, and then, they can fill the other one either by trade or free agency.
Is there any indication that they'll be willing to open up the purse strings a little bit and spend more money? And obviously, the first concern would be that left side of the infield.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt that they're going to be very aggressive this winter. If you look at the MO of this ownership group, they have always dug into their pockets coming off a disappointing year, and that this year certainly qualifies as that. It's almost certain that they're going to finish in last place for the fifth time in the last 11 years, and usually that triggers a response from ownership to let's fix this and let's fix this in a hurry. So I would think that they're going to be aggressive spenders in the off season. Now, how that gets allocated remains to be seen. I have said all along, Rich, dating back to last spring training, that I think they will do whatever it takes to get Rafi Devers signed and extended sometime this off season, so that he doesn't go into next year where Mookie Betts was going to go in 2020 and forcing a trade with the Dodgers. The question becomes, how aggressive are they going to be with Xander Bogaerts? And I think the fact that they've had such a disappointing season is going to make them be more aggressive toward Bogaerts than they otherwise might have been, and that they have been to date. We know that they lowballed him with a ridiculous offer last spring that essentially tacked on one more year with a $10 million raise in that season, but basically unchanged from his current deal. That wasn't close to getting it done. I think they know that, and I think they know that they're in for a world of, of unhappy fans if they don't keep both those guys. So I think they're going to be a very strong effort to retain Bogarts at short. And then, you know, even then, they probably have some money to spend. And, you know, you wonder if they don't look at this winter as an opportunity to really rattle the Yankees' cage, make a big move and acquisition on their own, in addition to retaining their own stars, and make a run at Judge. You know, that would be great theater for the offseason. I'm sure the Yankees are going to have competition, whether it be the Mets, the Dodgers, the Giants. We've seen all the number of teams that are going to be lined up for a guy who is certainly going to be the MLB home run champ this year, almost certainly going to be the AL home run record holder this year, and is quite likely to be the second American League player in the last 55, 56 years to win the Triple Crown. He's at his absolute peak in terms of his value, and it would be interesting to see if the Red Sox get into that, maybe to make the Yankees sweat and drive the number up for them, but maybe legitimately to add a bat in the outfield, which is the one area where the Red Sox don't have any help that is really major league ready. About the closest they're going to get to having an outfielder in their system who could make an impact in the immediate future is Sadan Rafaela, who is a kind of a tweener who's played the outfield and infield, but probably isn't going to make it to the big leagues until at the very earliest the end of next year and probably 24. So, you know, this addresses all kinds of things. It gives them somebody to help sell tickets. It sends a message to the fan base that they're willing to spend money not only to retain their own free agents but attract others, and that they're willing to get into a bidding contest with the top and biggest spending teams in the game.
Well, that could certainly make for an interesting offseason, perhaps more interesting than the season has been. We look forward to it. Sean, great to talk with you as always. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rich.
You bet. Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal, here on Downtown.